Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hi, everybody. It's Red Wings Rant. Where tirades and impassioned pleas for your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. How are you doing?
We was robbed. Man, these NHL games are too short. They should be 60 minutes and like 30 seconds. We would have had that fifth goal.
Yeah, I just tweeted out. I really would like that the Grice flub back. He surprises Nick Leddy with the pass. Oh. Marner steals the next attempt, I guess, from Leddy to start the play out of the zone, and lo and behold, go down by two. But that's actually a good way to start the conversation. But first things first, Soapdish, I know you're already commenting. We didn't even start talking yet, but Soapdish has his thoughts on Tyler Bertuzzi. Not happy with his crappy play in overtime against the Panthers. But Soapdish, good to have you. Brad, good to have you. Got an almost there. And Performance Art, as always, good to see you, my man. But yeah, I at least we could start the conversation with that, right? Like, this is super disappointing. Number one, this is two games in a row where we're super bummed. But we're losing to the team that I put down. You know, like, every year I pick one team I'm going to put money down to win the Stanley Cup. I did it every year except for last year. When I make a trip to Vegas, but now we can just do it on our phones. So this year, did it on my phone, picked the Florida Panthers. So for us to lose to that team, it doesn't, you know, I picked them to win the cup. Also, I mean, I'm not just saying Florida's the best team in the league. I'm trying to pick the team where I'm going to win a little extra more money instead of just picking Tampa Bay to win again. But yeah. That being said, I still picked him to win the cup. And then as bad as Toronto's start has been, it's still the fucking Toronto Maple Leafs. All right. They're fucking stacked. I know that the Marner just scored his first goal tonight, but I mean, come on, we're not going to play games here. We fucking hate the Leafs, but they're stacked. So it's hard to compete with four lines. And you know, we definitely, I said in my preview for the Panthers game, I said we needed the secondary scoring to beat the Panthers. But we got the secondary scoring tonight, Mike. Holy shit, did we? Of course, talking about Veleno making his debut. But there's so many things to talk about. But let's just stick with what I first said. We're losing to two great teams. We're playing great hockey to keep up with them. I wouldn't say great like hockey from the analytics perspective. We got absolutely trounced from an expected goals perspective today. So that means Toronto is just getting the better chances than us. But we like did enough to keep up, and our shot percentage is going to do a little bit better than Toronto's, but it's just one of those things. Like, I like this look of the Red Wings team that, Mike, before we started recording, I said, we are the Rocky of NHL franchises right now. We go down, but we never give up. and it's fun to watch.
Matt, I know that the expected goals for was heavily in Toronto's favor. However, this also was a weird game in that it felt like this was the sloppiest we've looked since the season started. Obviously, Grice had the largest boner, giving up a free goal. But the other kind of weird play, and he quickly redeemed himself by getting what now he's third in the league for assists, his most cider, when he had a no-look spin pass into the middle of the blue line to nobody that Toronto almost took for a goal. Luckily, they didn't score. Luckily, we turned it around and got a power play point out of it. But, yeah, it was just I don't know if the boners had more to do with, Toronto's speed, and it was easier for them to, punish any kind of mistake. But I think you're absolutely right that this game, I like your Rocky analogy. It's just that I wish that some of these good competitive teams we could get a lead instead of having to keep fighting back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you gotta love the effort, because it's definitely the past couple seasons it wasn't watchable hockey, because you know, as soon as we were down, it would snowball, and you would remember those games where you'd have like 2, 3, 4 losses in a row, and it would, you know, be a 1-0 lead, and quickly 2, 3, or 4, you know, to 1 or 0. And right now, it doesn't feel like any lead is comfortable against this Red Wing team, because you know they are playing so well. Even in a loss, you know, Ken Daniels made sure to end the commentary with that. Or maybe it was John Keating was starting that post-game show with, you know, who wants to play the Red Wings right now? And I don't know who does. I would say that arguably maybe Canadian teams want to play us right now before a certain player gets a certain thing in his arm. And we can all move on from this. But, yeah, you can't be upset with the effort. You know, it did look like we – man, right up to the very end, we still almost pushed across that goal, even though we took a penalty. You know, we were at an empty net on 5-on-5. You know, because of the kill. But our boy Tristan, absolutely right. Joe Valeno, which is what that's how Daniels pronounced it. That guy, man. I know his deep cut analytics were a little rough, but man, he definitely had a few eyeball test contributions to this game. Besides, you know, the goal, there's that next shift that came like 90 seconds after his goal, where Blatchell just said, you know, get back out there, man. Like, your energy's infectious. Give us one more. And then he almost did give the Red Wings one more with some incredible deeks, man. And it's just kind of mind blowing that he even had to be in the minors. Like, he looked that positive.
Yeah, it's and what you're talking about is drawing that penalty to give us a power play. But that first goal for Valeno here, to me, the first thing you and I talked about was just that Valeno seems to be putting himself in the right spot. Let me blow this up, and then I got to mute it. Yeah, there you go. Right place, right time for Mickey. Gotta mute those before we get it removed from YouTube. All right. Now I did want to kind of go over this too, because I think, you know, everybody immediately tweets out, you know, the assist from Rasmussen, of course, the goal from Valeno, so that's exciting. I did want to point out, if you watch, can people see my mouse?
Yeah.
Right along the boards here is where the puck is. My boy Vladislav Namestnikov is the one who is just dogging the puck as we go around. If he's not making this play, slowing the puck down, trying to get the win, the puck never gets back to Rasmussen. But to your point, to Mickey's point, what we love seeing in the eyeball test here for Valeno is he is sniffing out these spots to get open and to put the puck in, because he had another great chance like this in the first period that I was just like, I was already having the thought of, oh my gosh, this guy he's going to score tonight, because he does sniff out these spots. It's what we saw in the preseason. It's what we saw in Grand Rapids for 3 games, right? I mean, it's just, it's going to be difficult for the Red Wings to make an argument after this one game where he did have some production here. It's going to be tough for them to make the argument that there isn't space for Veleno on this team. Now, we did have the – oh, I guess we should probably let him finish the goal here, huh? Boop! There he goes. Now, huge credit, and this is where we can transition that conversation. We'll just keep playing this, right? I loved Veleno tonight. I thought Namestnikov had one of his best games of the season, and I think it started with that play. And, of course, he's going to put one in as well. And it's just, to me, like, would we ask for the secondary scoring? Like, this is the type of stuff you got to see, the way that this is getting started with Namestnikov pushing up the boards. Rasmussen, a lot of people are giving him a hard time for not really showing up, not really making a statement on the offensive side of the puck. This is at least something for us to look at Rasmussen and say, you know what, he's following along the play the way he's supposed to be. We haven't won the puck battle yet, and he knew where he needed to be to make sure, you know, Namestnikov was going to be knocking that puck back. And he had the awareness to throw it out front to Veleno, to a guy he hasn't practiced with all season. So, I mean, there's something to that, too. So you got to give the nod to Rasmussen to know to throw the puck out front. But, yeah, I'm giving this play to Vladdy and the wherewithal of Veleno to sniff out that open space and just snap it in. Great, great play. And of course, you know, things got better for Veleno as the game went on, because I really enjoyed watching him dipsy doodle for the Vlad goal. I think I might have that one queued up too, if you guys wanted to take a peek at that. I'm kind of disappointed in Detroit Red Wings, at Detroit Red Wings, because they didn't have a nice, crisp video for us to watch. So we're going to be watching Matt, who records goals on his phone while he's watching at home.
Yeah, and, like Bootlegger George on Seinfeld. Just double bootlegger, baby.
they don't look as good. They don't sound as good, but you can still see what's going on. Now, this is something where, what am I going to do? Well, how am I going to dissect this? I'm just going to go, all right, I creamed my pants right here and right there, and then Veleno passed over to Namestnikov.
And then you dry-heaved. Gotcha.
Right. There was nothing left to come out, and it was just a great, big old celebration. So this is just more for the argument of Veleno sticking around, I think, when things... how do we want to put it? When we go back to normal in the States and Tyler Bertuzzi's back in the lineup? So I got to back up in the comments here, because I know that this was brought up by Tristan. Mike, I wanted to have this conversation with you.
Yeah.
So Tristan threw out there some lineups. Now that we're like me right now, I'm like, okay, you played one game with Veleno. Clearly he's going to get another game because we're playing in Canada for actually, I know we're playing in Montreal. Are we playing another game in Canada after that? Oh, no. Okay, then we go to Boston. So Bertuzzi will be back in Boston. But if Veleno, I don't even need him to score goals in the next game. If he just looks competent in the next game, if he can get some special teams time and look like he's making the right moves, then yeah, I'd keep him around. So everybody throw in your lineups, because let's say the first line is Bertuzzi, Larkin, Lucas Raymond, right? And I think Tristan, not even knowing that was the stipulation, that's what he's got put together here. Suter, Veleno, and Zadina, and then Fabry, Rasmussen, and Namestnikov is his third line. So I just want to focus on what I want to build out with Veleno here in the second line, because I think there's an opportunity here to take advantage of that. I do think this is an opportunity as well, Mike, to get Puse out of that second line center spot, because he's in the 30% range for faceoffs. And I mean, honestly, I'm not impressed right now. And if we're going to play the game with Philip Peronic, that he's going to be riding pine, right, for two games. I don't love Suter the way I love Peronic for his tour of duty for the last couple of years for the Wingdings. I'm fine dropping Suter. I'm not even kicking him off the team. I'm putting him on the wing, as Tristan has on there. But yeah, it's more about putting Veleno in the center spot here, because Mike, I don't know if you want to go first, because I had one in mind It'll be kind of spoiled by the fact that Blashill just announced this gentleman's injury. But I don't know if you want to go
which injury.
First.
Which injury got announced?
All right, so I'm fine. I'll say it. Ah, Adam Ernie's injured. So he's day to day. Blashill said it doesn't look like it's a long term injury, but I'll just say it. So that was my all line. Right. I wanted to go. I want to fit in Ernie on the second line. I want to have some skill with Valeno and Zadina, throwing it over to Ernie. I think we're moving Ernie. He plays right wing.
He plays
both sides. He plays left side and right side for the wing. So that's where I'm just going to play this game. Philip is my right winger, and then I'm going to put Joe Valeno at center. I got to scroll down to the comments because I asked you guys to give me your second lines with Valeno, or if you want to throw him on the third line, go ahead and do that. But Mike, I don't know, where's your head at?
Well,
do you want a second to think about
it? I have not had a lot of time to really embrace Pugh's suitor here, man.
Okay.
He hasn't really, you know, won over our hearts here. I think his highlights are mostly in a Blackhawk uniform. I know he is off the schneid, but I got to think if Blashill is already to the point where he's going to bench a Hronik, then we could maybe think about cutting Pugh's time and bumping him to the like third line time. So I don't know if it's something where I want to necessarily move him to the wing. If he can't be center, we don't have a ton of centers on this team, Matt. So I mean, even if you're going to lose faceoffs, somebody on this team has to take faceoffs. So I guess I would give Valeno a shot with Zadina. If Zadina likes making plays for other people and Valeno insists in being in the right spot to keep scoring goals. I kind of like the idea of those two together. So I guess the departure is just who's going to be on the wing with them. And that's where you kind of have to look at, is it going to be Fabry or is it going to be Rasmussen? And I think I'm still going to go with Rasmussen. Well, you know who pays you out, man, big bucks at the DraftKings Sportsbook. And you know what? They cater to other sports. So you know what? NFL fans hungry for a big win this week. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. As you covered, new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner is in the ad copy. It's that simple. You know, I would start putting money down. DraftKings makes it really easy to be a Lions fan because the Lions keep opening up with these double-digit point spreads, and they cover. They don't have one against the Eagles this week. It's only 3, so it's going to be a little bit of a whoop. I don't know if I'm putting money on that game, but they're going to show effort. Anyway, if Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I don't know what kind of score we're going to get out of the Fabry, Suter, Nemestikov line. But I do kind of like, you know, Rasmussen, he's had a couple, you know, better games in a row. I don't mind putting him with Valeno at this point. Putting him with Zadina. I would like to give a few more minutes there, man.
God damn it, Tristan. Throwing in there, Adam Ernie is 6-for-6 on faceoffs this year. So, all right. So, Ernie, he's playing left, right wing, and center. I like that one.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Wings, we don't really have a lot of ace. Do we have any ace centers on this team? I guess you want to say Larkin and Mitchell? Stevens, as far as what his job is?
He definitely played good yesterday. Let me check on that. I'll pull that up while we're chit-chatting here. But I do want to throw out performance art and has something familiar: Zadina, Valeno, and Fabry for that second line.
I think we're kind of in agreement here that it's Puse needs to get bumped.
Yeah, it's
we can't really afford to scratch him. We can scratch defensemen a lot easier, but he should probably get just a few less minutes here to till he kind of builds some confidence and, you know, kind of figures his way out on the Red Wing team.
All right. Well, first of all, Tristan, I hate to break it to you. Hockey Reference has Adam Ernie 6 for 11, so he's still above 50%. You've got Fabry's at 69% right now, so a huge turnaround from last year. 56% for Dylan Larkin, 56% for Gagne. And as we just mentioned, Ernie, who subs in, right? And he's not actually starting there, but for his 11 faceoffs, he's at 54%, but that one doesn't really. Rasmussen has taken, it looks like he's got the second most faceoffs to Dylan Larkin. Rasmussen at 52%. Stevens, 46 wins, 45 losses. So he's just above 50% right now. And then Puse, who plays, he's listed as our center. He's at 40% right now. Just under 40. I'm sorry. He's at, let's say, 39.8. Because I want to sell. I don't want to bump him up to the 40% tier where he's in 39.8.
Should we make this concession too? Like, sure, I think you could start to say that, you know, healthy, non-Canadian first line. Raymond, Larkin, Bertuzzi. I think you can. They're not like a. Let's not go crazy. They're not like a top 10 first line in the NHL, but it's a formidable first line where you're like, you know, we got to pay attention to them because these guys know how to score points. And then if you look at this roster, I think you could say the bottom six, pretty comparable to other teams' bottom six. But the problem is that, you know, we don't have the depth for really a second line. And Puse is being asked to be a number two center, you know, against really good teams. So if he's taking center, like taking faceoffs against like number two centers, I got to think that's factoring in a little bit into his percentage. And I'm not saying that, you know, Rasmussen and Mitchell are trash, but they're also more often than not going against like third and fourth liners. Is that too crazy an assertion?
I would say, like, taking a look at when I was doing a deep dive on the Florida Panthers game, that is a team. Clearly, they're undefeated. They look really good. But their second and third liners are close to putting up double digits in points already, which is crazy. Because, think about where our best guys are right now at 9 points. So it's just there's a lot of depth on the really, really great teams. And then for us, I think we still have to hope that we're cutting that game in half, then we're cutting it down to a period, and you know, we're within a goal. Despite all of the praise we've given to Jeff Blashill, like, we're still kind of in that realm of, like, all right, we still got to, like, cross our fingers a bit here that the chances, even if we get outchanced, we still have goaltending that backs us up. But yeah, I would say our bottom nine, I would throw that in a blender. I would give Jeff.
They're so they're so interchangeable. I don't think we have. Yeah, we don't have a second line. Like, we're not there yet, and it's okay. It just means all those guys are kind of interchangeable.
Now, I do want to throw this one out there. Brad has an interesting comment here. I'd like to see how Valeno does up with Larkin and Raymond. Now, I'm going to take this, and I want to say, the problem with the first line, the only problem, is that we're not going to get it every night without any injuries. That is the only problem with the first line right now. I wouldn't touch it. I would give Valeno that opportunity in Canada and then back to first line being the first line. That's the most frustrating part is that, and Mike, I would argue too, where I would say this first line through the analytics test, they test out to be a top five first line in the league right now. So I will say they play a great two-way game. Lucas is incredibly responsible and aggressive on the defensive side of the puck. And you can see that with the, I'm not talking about analytics. I'm talking about watching him play, getting, forcing turnovers, getting the puck out of the zone. That first line, that group of three, when Bertuzzi's there and he's not having the shit game he had in Florida, when Bertuzzi's on, he's there. That first line, it does that good. It is the line that you want to see when you're watching the game. Raymond is bringing out chances night after night. He's going to end up being, it looks like he's going to end up being one of the top forwards in the league in expected goals for percentage by the end of the season. If his play thus far, you know, if this turns into a pattern and continues to the end of the season and he's playing that well as a rookie. But I think a lot of it has to do with the grit that you get from Dylan. And you know what, Raymond is, he's pretty aggressive. Like he really gets his nose dirty, but the three of those guys get their nose dirty and they have a ton of skill. And right now they have some pretty good shooting percentages carrying them as well. So it's that is a great first line.
Yeah. I mean, it is noticeably the first line, right? I just don't want to be too, you know, hyperbolic and say, my God, this is, you know, the greatest assembly of men ever created. Like I still would take, you know, like a Tampa first line before ours. And probably a Tampa second line, I would strongly consider before our three guys, considering Stamkos enters
it. I'd push back on that. It's a pretty formidable first line.
It's pretty good, but have you seen Steven Stamkos?
Yeah, but, well, I would go with
that. I know you have the hometown bias, man. Come on. We all love Lucas right now.
No,
how do you not love that Lucas smile? He hasn't even lost a hockey tooth yet.
We're talking about three guys that wear blue jerseys and three guys that wear red jerseys. Then the three guys that wear red jerseys play pretty fucking good. So I'm
going
to sign
up. You know what's kind of fun, too, by the way, going left to right with Bertuzzi, Larkin, and Lucas? They all have kind of like the teeth get better and better and better. Like, Todd's got, you know, he's definitely got hockey teeth. Larkin is getting there, but Lucas still has every single one of those shining baby white teeth. They look fantastic out there.
Yeah, he's a good looking
kid. It looks like the Zamboni just went over them. They look fantastic.
Yeah, it's like you have your face of the company for pro wrestling is Roman Reigns. Like Lucas Raymond is the face of that line, no doubt. Like he's going to be the guy selling.
Like Bertuzzi is like the Shield Roman
and watches,
Reigns. And Lucas is more like SmackDown on Fox Roman Reigns.
Well, no, it's
because he's got the white teeth.
Tyler Bertuzzi is Dean Ambrose. Larkin is Seth Rollins, and Lucas Raymond is Roman Reigns. That's the beauty. That's the beauty and the power of the group. For anybody who doesn't watch pro wrestling, I do apologize.
And that's everybody.
Yeah, that's pretty much everybody here.
Did we toot Zadina's horn yet? Because he had a fantastic game today.
Oh, man. Yeah, his horn needs some tooting because yesterday I gave him a hard time. I said, again, Florida's secondary scoring is incredible between the second and third lines. It's really hard to compete with. So I said, do we need a goal from Zadina? And he didn't give us one. And he had a stinker of a game from a possession and chance perspective. And he led the team in giveaways. So he was just throwing the puck all around the ice. And it was just a stinker. And I got pushback on Twitter because I wasn't, you know, too thrilled with his leading the game in turnovers. But anyway, he turned it around tonight with that power play goal. I think I have that one queued up.
Yeah, I hope so. That was a sweet one.
Oh, man, the pressure.
I hope you have that queued up, man. We're on bated breath over here.
Oh, fuck. I don't.
We just got to imagine its greatness. Well, I just, you know, it was another one of those where, like the commentary, you know, Mickey was 100% right on that. It's time to get this kid some confidence. I'm really happy that this one went in because this was more of a skill goal than the one he got earlier in the season.
Let me, I got it. I got it up now. I'll throw it up there. I mean, this is what we brought up earlier, right? Was I think the narrative behind this is the turnaround for Seider. Like that should have been, that should have been a goal. The possession before. Yeah, you like the giggle from Mickey Redmond?
I don't need the rest of the commentary. Just Mickey giggle.
I'll try and pull that up. I'll snatch that next week. But yeah, this is the possession after Sider does that no look pass, and Toronto goes right
in. No look spinarooski to nobody.
Right, and Grice with the save. So
another fantastic moment for Mickey. Not a giggle, but he went, whoa! He didn't have like any professional expertise on that madman play. He just had a loud outburst of sound where he went, whoa! And luckily it wasn't a call, but it was hilarious. So I just want to thank Mickey for his contribution.
So when we pull this up, like you could see, like this is where Zadina is going to spend most of his time, where my mouse is circling him. And for anybody on the podcast, I do apologize, but he's pretty close to the boards.
Especially if the video's paused.
So what Sider needs to do is move the Maple Leafs out of the way. And it's just, I mean, it's not like this isn't the greatest play we've ever seen from a quarterback on a power play, but it's just important, right? So it's something right after he has that flub that he is right back out here doing a great play on the power play, getting all look at it's almost if you cut the offensive zone down the middle, he's brought all of the Maple Leafs to the right side or the, you know, the opposite side of where Zadina's set up. And it's because of the fear of Mort Sider, I think, plays into it. But we just keep rolling this along. And this is where Zadina's got all the time in the world to set up exactly what he wants to do. And he just rips it past, which we haven't mentioned yet, Mrazek. just a beauty here. And I think it really is. It's a testament to the maturity of Sider. Right after that play, he gets right back into doing what he needs to do to be successful in his power play role. Like it wasn't something where, you know, I'm glad they didn't pull him off. You know, he didn't pull himself off. He just goes right back out there, does what he needs to do to make room for Zadina. Pulls himself off.
Yeah, all right.
I know. That's
Matt, save that audio clip. I need that drop for later.
You want to hear more Sider pulling himself off?
If I may. Can I just say too, like when Mickey had that, it wasn't expert commentary. It was just a sound outburst. Oh, Insider, you know, realigned the planets, and then like we just saw, perfectly set up that goal for Zadina. That was like the same shift. So I mean, he didn't make that tremendous boner, and I'm talking like, you know, 60s Batman boner, not, you know, the other kind. When he made that tremendous boner, he didn't like hang his head and like go to Blash and be like, ah, coach, I don't know what I did. He literally just said, oops. And I totally agreed with Mickey. It's like, ah, he's a kid. It's going to happen. And life just went on. But it was like the same shift. There's no head hanging. There was no, like, I don't know, navel gazing. What did I do wrong? He just corrected it and was a super positive contributor on the very next, like, attempt to score. So it's just, man, this guy is so good. We're so lucky to have him.
Yeah, it's hopefully it's going to play into us getting more ESPN.
The one thing I do want to say, though, and yeah. I'm really proud of Bally Sports for dropping that stat where they showed, like, Sider has more points in, like, his first six or seven games than Nick Lidstrom.
Yeah.
But on that same list was Dennis Chalowski. So it's like, yeah, you know, a little context. You know, it doesn't mean a lot in a small sample size, but it's still kind of cool that he's, you know, among certain company.
Yeah, and I do see the conversation going on in the chat here. Let me see how far back I need to go. All right, Brennis, he wants to bench Z for a couple of games. I do.
Brennis going hardcore Blashill. I like it.
Tristan, he's not about it. Jared's on board. He says he's been leaky. Soap dish. Z is just fine. Brad's talking about Mo Sider.
What do you say?
I don't think anyone was even upset by the giveaway from Mo because he plays so well. Yeah, I mean, we're just talking about how
it was just such a comically weird play from him. You know what I mean? Like, it stood out because it's so unlike him.
So here's Tristan. This is the last point, and then I wanted to share what we're looking at from an analytics perspective. So it's tough to just say, I like the way Zadina plays, so we have to bring it to analytics so that there's something to point out. But, you know, he does say he's one of the few players that can skate out of the zone, and that's where this comes into play, where we've already talked about ad nauseum, like the first line is one of the best lines right now in the league from an expected goals for percentage. But Philip Zadina is our next best forward in that same statistic. And it is because one, Tristan throws out there, he can get the puck out of the zone. He's also great at setting up in the zone. He has positive Fenwick and Corsi numbers. So those attempts are in his favor when he's on the ice. So this is a guy who's creating and throwing his, you know, throwing the puck at the net himself. I think my problem with Zadina hasn't been like the on and off. My only thing is that the higher these expected goals numbers get, he's creating this huge gap on 5-on-5. And let's not forget, this is a power play goal for Zadina. His 5-on-5 finishing numbers aren't great. And I need to see that number increase. And I have no problem if anybody wants to agree with that or if anybody wants to fight me on that. But Zadina is creating quite the gap while he's on the ice or while, you know, for his on ice numbers on 5-on-5 between what the expected goals should be and what the actual goals are. So that's where you start to see something that is sure. You could still say he's a great two way forward, but if I have Zadina on my team and we go back to why we drafted him and, you know, the reasons I want to be excited for him, I want to see him close that gap. And I think that is totally fair. I got in the conversation with some folks on Twitter yesterday. I think that's fair to ask of our players is to see that they try to close that gap. And you don't actually bring that up as a coach and say, hey, you got a lot of expected goals here. Why don't you kick up that actual? I just mean his play will eventually do that. I think there's a law of averages that has to come into play with that. But it is something that if we go through an entire season, especially last year where he was the analytics painted him as somebody who struggled to finish. Mm-hmm. If that happens again, we just don't want to see that's the consistency in Zadina's game, that sure, he can create good looking plays, but there isn't finish there. And that has been my complaint, I guess.
Do you really think it's an inability to finish or that he prefers to defer? And I just wondered if,
well, I mean, look at that shot on the power play. He has the ability. I just don't know how.
Because I don't think it's ability. I don't think it's about ability at all. I definitely think that he prefers to defer. So I think that it just sucks the reason that we have to see him shoot more. But it's kind of like Lash is like, dude, we're down our best goal scorer. But it's going to be like that every time we play Canada this year. So we need you to shoot more, dude. So I think if he takes more opportunities, I think we're going to start to just see goals go in. So, you know, as far as some finishing, it's just going about him being more assertive. So I don't know if that's maybe just a confidence thing, but I'm not like concerned about his skill level. I just want him to be that aggressive guy and show off what he's capable of.
Yeah. And this is probably the best point here.
Boom. B-Van 53. Yeah. Drops a bomb. Absolutely.
More evidence that where we can look at Zadina's game and say, this looks good. He also passes the analytics test. So what's going on? And then we look at a guy like Pew Suter on this line, and we've already talked about how he's struggling in those same statistics. He's struggling to really get anything consistent going. Maybe it's about putting Valeno on that line. Maybe it's about when Verana comes back and Zadina gets to play with his countrymen. But either way, I think, you know, this is something where it looks like the dam is ready to break. Like you can only go so far and continue to create those chances and not have it burst. But it's disappointing for me only because I want to see the production numbers add up with the analytics, and it just hurts that it hasn't happened yet. But it's not to say I don't think it's not me saying it won't happen. It's me saying, there is trouble if it doesn't happen, and that's fair to say. But let's switch up those line mates. Let's get Puce out of there, and we'll go there.
I really hope that we get to see that new line combo of Leno, Zadina, and I would maybe put Rasmussen up there.
All right. With this conversation, have we missed anything else with this game? Got Zadina, boasts about Vladdy.
We had that hilarious line today about Hironic scored his first goal against an actual goalie in like 82 games or something like that because he had so many empty net goals. So it was pretty hilarious there. But Do we, Matt?
He still scored with an empty net on the ice, though. That was my, I was hoping more people thought that was funny, but I only got two likes on
that. Will you ever, and I'm going to poll the people here, will you guys ever enjoy You Make My Dreams Come True by Daryl Hall and Oates ever again? Hall and Oates? I will never, ever enjoy that ever again.
Yeah, what is, Chicago has that dumb Chelsea Dagger that I could never.
I still like Chelsea Dagger.
Nope.
I love the Fratellis. I'm still in. What about that awful, what's that Lambo song? Watching bang on the drum all day.
Okay, you know what? I like that one. That one I'm still on board with. But, yeah, Hall & Oates just doesn't add up for, like, a hockey game. That just, you could see what Chicago is trying to do with Chelsea Dagger. There's, like, a chant mixed into it. I just don't know. I guess it's not a hockey song to me. I think it's more like a. It's not a celebration song.
Can I
right?
do a hot take for you, Matt?
Yeah, go for it.
I think it's just as much of a hockey song as "Don't Stop Believing" by Journey. Sorry, and that they're both not hockey songs. And I don't get geeked up for hockey when I hear that song.
No, I did. I said it's not a celebration song, but. I was going to say, it is a good filler song because you can get the fans singing along.
I don't mind the sing-along stuff, but I don't know. It doesn't get me amped up.
That's where I sit. I think there's room for sing-along songs.
Are Hall & Oates even Canadian? They have like a wealth of Canadian like music they could be choosing from. Canadian?
They can choose whoever they want.
I'm just saying,
music.
Like they're going to embrace a Hall & Oates song for a celebratory goal? Come on.
We've got Google. What Wikipedia is going
to
say.
I'd rather listen to Judas by Fozzy.
Number one selling Canadian. Oh, no. There it is. American pop rock duo. Hall & Oates.
Yes. Yes. We've been fact checked. Love it. Matt, would you rather hear Hall & Oates or Fozzy sing Judas every time there's a goal? And that's the band led by Chris
Jericho. Nobody knows that reference.
Okay. Hey, Judas was on the top rock and roll charts on Spotify.
Woo-hoo-hoo. I wonder how that happened.
Tristan, all right, Tristan, come on, man. They just say the word Detroit. They just say the word Detroit in it. Come on, man. That's not a hockey song.
It's a sports song. A lot of teams, and remember the San Francisco Giants used it when they were going for their World Series wins, and then Steve Perry showed up to sing it. That's right. Matt knows his Journey.
Are we at least on the same page as Jump the Shark? Like, I mean, we were playing that song when we were losing like 12 games in a row, 5-1, 5-2.
No.
And they just play the third period.
No, they save it. They save it for wins. They do a pretty good job. Yeah, they do a pretty good job of saving it. All right. I think we did want to go a lot shorter today, and we're already on 40 minutes.
Let me make one concession, Matt.
Yeah, go.
It's at least better than the Neil Diamond song that people try to sing along to.
Oh my God, what are you doing?
Hold on, what is the name of that? Sweet Caroline.
Sweet Caroline. Yeah.
Because that was like Boston's thing, and now everybody tries to do it the way Boston does it, and I don't think that's great. I think that it should just be Boston's song.
So, Soap Dish wants to know, Mike, your definition of a sports song. Now that you started this conversation.
My definition of a sports song?
Yeah. Now everybody's mad at you in the comments.
Oh, boy. You guys are really getting on the...
That's right.
Oh, my God. You guys, it just says the word Detroit in it. All right, there's other songs that do that. There's better songs. The criteria doesn't have to be it has the word Detroit in it.
Does it have to be from Jock Jams, Mike? Is that
Jock Jams or now that's what I call Jock Jams. Either one of those two series of albums I think would be okay.
I will say I think there's different points that I mean, like if you go to a little Caesars Arena hockey game, there's that adorable old man who's playing the organ. So there's a huge spectrum of hockey songs, I think.
I love the organ. I love the organ.
I do. I'm saying, like, think about that range of music.
I will say that Jock Jams meant tongue in cheek. Yeah, but sometimes I do want to hear Rock and Roll Part 2 by Gary Glitter.
Okay? Guess what? Brennus.
Yeah, my dude, Brennus. My dude. Yes. Yes. This guy gets it. You know what, Brennus? You and I are going to joke our high step down a flight of stairs together to that Rock and Roll Part 2 song.
And Tristan actually just threw that in there, too. His local team, the Essex 73s.
You want to know what? You know what, fam? I got one for you. You ready? You guys, obviously, we all hate Sidney Crosby and his dumb mustache, right? Goes without saying. But when they come out to Raining Blood by Slayer, I'm amped for a hockey game. I'm sorry. Can we get on the same page for Raining Blood by Slayer? That's a superior song. Hockey-wise, the Journey. Come on.
I will say, when we are playing Pittsburgh, they have a pretty good selection, too, of, like, wrestling entrance songs that they play throughout the game. They're pretty good about that. They also do like Van Halen over there a lot more than the DJ in Detroit. I'm always kind of bummed. It definitely leans, like, in Detroit, the games lean a little harder into the...
like house music.
What's the electronic? EDM. Yeah, electronic house music, which... I get it. Like, that's hockey, you know, to a
T.
That's
a big thing in Detroit. Yeah, we have a lot of, like, EDM festivals and stuff. So, I kind of get that. Yeah.
I want more Van Halen. That's where Matt's at. That's... All right. We got to wrap up here because we just talked about sports music. But parting thoughts, I would say, Valeno's got a... He's got to do exactly what he just did tonight, and not from a production standpoint, but just from a competency standpoint. And he's got a spot when we bring Bertuzzi back in the lineup. And I still want to see Zadina get.
I forgot to shout out one more person. He didn't get a goal, but Larkin. Oh my god, he came up so short like two or three times tonight, and the cameras were doing a fantastic job catching the expression on his face with just that. Like that, just a little bit of frustration, you know.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it almost every episode now, where it looks like Larkin he's got like his heart back, right? He's got his smile back. Like this is what Dylan Larkin,
or as Darren McCarty said, he's healthy.
No, god damn it, no.
I don't want you to ever forget that.
I don't want another fucking Darren McCarty reference. Jesus.
Just go back for anybody
who doesn't understand it. Just go back and watch the episode where we had Darren guest, and he just did not listen to us for 3 seconds. It was so hard to talk to him. Oh my god! All right, but yeah, Larkin's a great point. Tristan, you know what? Tristan's throwing up my other band, AC/DC.
Oh,
AC/DC,
yeah.
All day, every day, at hockey arenas. All right. What do we think? We got Montreal. Do we redeem ourselves from that shellacking?
The effort's there, but it's just tough without your best player.
And I think Montreal just got... Wait, Bertuzzi?
Yeah, he's still our best player.
No, come on. Larkin's number one. Lucas Raymond is bringing the most excitement. I think Larkin is the best all-around player right now on the ice for the Red Wings.
So is Bertuzzi our most important player?
That could be argued because
when that's when we started to lose.
But what would happen?
If
we had Bertuzzi and Larkin and Fabry as our first line? Or better yet, what would happen if it was Bertuzzi, Raymond, and Pugh Suter?
I don't want to think about terrible things.
I'm just saying.
I don't want to think about them. They'll sound like horrible things, and I'm going to go to bed soon, Matt. I'm going to have nightmares about that.
All right, Tristan's got 1-0. Soapdish says, ask Bert, he'll be watching.
That's my dude. Thanks, Soapdish.
And Brad thrown out there, goalies are our most important players right now. So back to Tristan's point of a 1-0 win, that would be redemption over a Montreal Canadiens team that's really only had one good offensive game so far this year. I think they just got trounced again, didn't they? Tristan, you were telling me too that Florida already lost, so I know you've got your head on a swivel. Yeah, they went down 5-2 to the Kings.
Oh boy.
5-2 to the 2-5-1 Kings. So yeah.
Can I say this is going to be a fascinating Red Wing game to see if we have some real just fire in our guts to just kill these guys?
Doesn't it seem like Sider's the kind of guy? Like, think about what Sider did today after he had an oopsie. Yeah. Like, it just seems like Sider's going to go into this game. He's going to get a hat trick, I feel like, on Tuesday or something.
I'm going to be glued to that TV. I can't wait to see what an angry Red Wing team looks like.
How do you say fuck this shit in German? We got to get like a drop of Mo saying that, because sometimes that just looks like that's what Mo's doing on the ice. Like, he's just sick of the shit going around and he's just going to...
Oh, did
Frickin you just look it up?
No, but it sounded good, didn't it?
All right. We got to get out of here before we find out what that actually means. Where were we? All right. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you did enjoy this, of course, please hit the like button on the.
This is a special episode, too, because we forgot to do the ad copy.
Yeah. I'm going to have to mix that in.
I'm glad I just reminded
you of
that.
You guys lucked out.
Yep. That's what people usually drop off. So viewership at an all time high right now. Love it.
We didn't see it drop.
You guys skipped the ad copy. I like this program.
Do us a favor and hit the like button because we didn't do ads today. Subscribe to the if you guys really want to help us out on the podcast, just a quick review, go to Apple Podcasts and throw one down. It does it just gives us more what do they do? Apple throws us out there more to people that are just searching Red Wings. We finally show up if you search Red Wings on the fucking app. So thank you to everybody that has reviewed us recently. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, we kept coming up for studs.
Shut the fuck up. All right, that's a good note to end on. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you guys coming up probably after that Canadiens game.
Woo!
All right, see ya.